I don't know, about the last few weeks, we've been doing a series on gifts and ministries and all those things, and you know, just kind of doing an evaluation of where are we and what are your gifts. I think it's important that every single one of us, if you're part of the body, what is my calling, what is my purpose, what is my ministry, what is my gifts, what are my talents, how do I use it? And you know, I never want us to be a church that, like, you know, James talks about that we are just hearers of the word and not doers in James 1:22. And so the question we've got to ask ourselves, are we exercising our gifts? Are we actually stewarding what God has given us? And the thing is, this is an encompassing thing. And so tonight, I don't want to just share on gifts and talents and ministry, but the encompassing work of God in us. And the reason I want to talk about that is because I know Jock actually brought it to my attention, because he was like questioning certain things with gifts and that. And I actually went back to it in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4. And I'll give you that one. Okay. It says, now there are variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are variety of service, but the same Lord. And there's a variety of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. And so here we see there's gifts, there's ministries, there's activities. It's not just one thing. It's kind of an encompassing thing. And so it's like, how do we get a hold of this whole thing that God has given us? And it's important that we understand this, because you know, there's so much more than God has for us than just a specific ministry or a specific calling, you know, a specific idea. I mean, think of it. Husbands, men, yeah, you've got businesses. And in your business, you've got to steward that thing. And that stewarding of that business involves people that may be employed by you. Or if you've got your own work and you're working for someone, it's the same thing. You've got this thing that I've got to administer correctly. And I've got to steward this that God has given me, this job. But that's not all you've got. You also a husband, maybe. But that's not all you've got. You haven't just got a wife that you call to love and love her well, but you've also got children, and you've got to love them and discipline them and teach them the ways of God. I mean, that's part of your sphere. And then not only that, but God's given us gifts in the life of the church and ministries. And so I want to say this thing starts to become encompassing. It's not just one thing. Hey. And so how do we deal with this? How do we process this together? And I wanted to go to Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30. I'd like to read this whole parable. I know it's quite a few verses, but bear with me and just have patience, because I do feel just something in this that I want to process with you. It says, for it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents, to another two talents to another, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug it into the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here are, I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also, who had the 2 talents, came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I'll set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talents in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered and said to him, you wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gathered where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have been invested my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even that what he has will be taken away. I'm so used to the New King James. The ESV doesn't. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's quite a heavy scripture if you read that. I was processing this because this scripture came to me when I was actually at Vachis' community. And we were just praying there, and I just felt something on this that God had just imparted into my heart. And we all know the story that the master that is actually Jesus himself. He's the one that's gone off to a far-off country. We all know that Jesus, when he ascended, he went to the right hand of the Father, and he's not doing nothing. He's actually busy interceding for you and I. But he's also given us things. He's given us gifts. He's given us talents. He's given us ministries to go and do. And he's coming back, and he's going to judge us. Not only judge us, but he's coming with rewards in his hands. He's coming to bless us, and he's also coming to judge. And so we all know that we the servants, right, in this story, in this parable that Jesus is giving, we are the servants. And what I want to say is, in this story, especially the New King James, you begin to read, it's talking about talents. This isn't, as I read through the commentaries and that, you know, a talent isn't necessarily a specific currency. It's not like a rand or a dollar. A talent is a weight. Okay, so you can have a talent of gold and a talent of silver. Okay? So, and I like the idea because, you know, as I was reading this, as I was sharing now with you, the thing with our ministries and gifts and callings and all of that, it's an encompassing thing. There's a weight in what we call to do. There isn't just a specific thing. It's not just a currency. My ministry isn't just the only thing to my life. It's not just this thing that God's given me to steward. There's kind of a weight of everything collectively. And Jesus is saying, I've given you this. I want you to go and produce from that. And so I want to look at that because as we begin to kind of look at that scripture, you'll also notice one thing, and I want to just maybe state a few obvious things, but the first thing as I was reading the scripture, I think we need to settle one thing. It says he gave to one, two, and he gave to one, five. Okay, one guy got five, one guy got two, one guy got one. Now, what that says is that some of you might look and think, well, that's quite discriminant, you know, that's quite unfair, as my younger child would always say sometimes when they, or both actually children would say that. You know, that's not fair. Why is he getting that kind of thing? And as basically a body, we can actually look at things like that too and say, well, that's not right. Why has he got more than me? But this is what we've got to realize. You know, Romans 2 verses 11 says, God shows no partiality. Acts 10 verses 34, truly I understand that God shows no partiality. Galatians 2 6, but from those who seem to be something, whatever they were, it makes no difference to me. God shows personal favoritism to no man. Okay, so we understand that God doesn't give us because he favors some people more than others. God gives you according to what he's purposed in you. And with that, what he gives you, there's grace, there's mercy, there's certain things that you're going to have that are going to be challenges that the person next to you isn't. And so he's got to have certain graces, but he's also going to have certain callings. So we can't look at the person next to you and think, well, you know, why has he got more than me? How does this work? And we've got to actually settle something. We need to settle this thing because I've noticed comparison can quickly come into the life of the church. And so there's a few things we need to settle, and I want to talk to you about that because the reason I want you to understand this, the Bible says we're his workmanship. In other words, you've been crafted specifically the way God wanted you to look. Okay? And with that craftsmanship, with that work, he's given you grace to do certain things. And, you know, sometimes we kind of look over his shoulder and you kind of think, well, why's he got more than me? Or why does he look better? Why is that thing? And that comparison begins to creep in. And in fact, Peter actually had that problem. If you remember James 21:22, when Jesus was telling Peter how he would live and how old he will get actually before he dies. And Peter probably didn't like the way Jesus, he said, you know, people are going to clothe you and they're going to take you where you don't want to go. Oh, no, that's pretty much like Lauren's dad at the moment. He's going through, he's 86, and I can guarantee you, you know, you don't want people to dress. You don't want these things to happen, but that's the age he's in. And one of the things Peter says, but what about them? How are they going to die? And Jesus said, well, that's not up to you, Peter. You don't have to know that. It's got nothing to do with you, actually. And so that comparison thing can quickly come in. And I want to quickly look, because there's two places I think that comparison can come in. And one is, where has God placed you? You need to settle. Where has God placed you? And I do want to encourage you guys, you know, coming to George PM, there's different dynamics. But I often see people sometimes creep in, you know, they look at the church down the road like, why is AM doing this and we not doing that? Comparison. Where's God placed you? That's my question. Not only that, it's God has placed you in a family. And so I don't just believe John and Sean and PC and, you know, whoever is just here. There's a knitting of hearts. There's a knitting of what family looks like. And we're all diverse. But God has placed you here. And it's kind of, there needs to be a settling that this is my brother. This is my mother. This is my sister. This is where I am. And I'm going to build here. You see, your heart can't be constantly looking over there, how does it look, and build here, because you won't build properly here. And the next thing is, what has God given you? And like I said, God isn't discriminate. He gives us all differently, but we need to settle that. But the thing I want to say tonight is, too, a gift isn't the ultimate goal. God gives us all gifts, but for the purpose that we multiply the gifts that he's given us, isn't it? And I want to read quickly Ephesians 4. It talks about the fivefold ministry and it talks about the gifts. But what are they for? Verse 12, it says, did I give you that one? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. For what? For the edifying of the body of Christ. So what is your gift for? Is it for you? No. It's for what? The edifying of the body. So ultimately, the gift that God has for you is actually for the body. Okay, and I don't want to confuse the fruit with the gift. Okay, your gift is not the fruit. Some people, this is my status. This is me. This is my fruit. No, I'm standing here teaching. That's not the fruit. The fruit should be, what am I producing in my teaching? Is people coming through in the Lord? Are they hearing the word? Are they doing what we call to do? You know, it's got to go further than that. It can't just be about the gift. And so, I know we can focus a lot on the fruitful guys, and we do, and it is important. But I want to share a little bit more than just the fruitful guys this evening. I want to talk about the unfruitful guy, the lazy steward that's referred to here. I want to focus a bit on him because I want to see what he did wrong, and I can see what we need to do right. It's not that I want to focus on the negative. I'm not a negative person, but you know. Yeah, so let me just kind of focus on this a bit. Because verse 24 actually addresses the unfaithful servant. There's something I've noticed here when it talks about him bearing his talents. Now, I don't want you to confuse bearing with planting. And I think the two can be so similar in our understanding. You don't say to yourself, I'm going to bury a seed, do you? You don't. You say, I'm going to plant a seed. Okay, so what is the difference between bearing and planting? Huh? You don't want to see. Expectations, very good answer. So I plant because there's an expectation. It's coming from a farmer, so it must be. He plants because there's an anticipation of what's to come. Am I right? John didn't just plant hundreds of thousands of rands worth of trees because he didn't have an expectation that there's going to be something that's going to come back in return. Am I right, John? And he didn't spend, after that planting, he didn't wait and think, well, that's it. I'm going to chill now because I've planted the seeds. No, he realized in that planting, he's got to feed that thing, that seed. He's got to feed it. He's got to nurture it. And so they took a lot of time and investment and money for John to actually give to those trees in order for there to be a return, right? But someone who buries something is not going to have the same heart. Hey. Now, I think this is where we got to actually look at it. As far as burying is versus planting. When something's buried, it's normally because it's dead, it's finished, it's kaput. But it speaks of death. I mean, you think of it. When you bury someone, it's because, you know, he's going to begin to decay and all of those things that happen that follows death. And the reason we bury it is for hygiene, it's the right thing to do, isn't it? But someone's buried is to put that thing behind you. It's finished. If someone dies, it's actually a closure, really. And it's the same with Romans 6:4. You know, when we become born again, we forget the scripture. It says, when we have died with Christ, but then it says, but we've also been buried with him. Have you got that one? Therefore, buried with him through the baptism into death. I think sometimes as Christians, we often forget that part of it. You've died with Christ, but you've also buried with him. And what's the point of that? Well, because it's actually saying my life no longer, I've died, but it's finished. There's no coming back. That what you see is a corpse. That what you see is decaying. It's finished, you know. When the dead thing begins to rise again, you've got to question that. You know, that old man that wants to rise in us, it's like, no, it's finished. I've got to kill it. And not only is it should be dead, but it should be in the ground. It has to be. And so when the word refers to something buried, it's never a positive thing. It's always a, you know, that thing which is finished. It's decaying. It's finished. And the reason I'm sharing this tonight, because I think, you know, even when God gave Israel kind of a way to manage how they dealt with the dead and how they dealt with being a community of people. Remember, they lived in the wilderness for 40 years. So God gave them clear instructions how to live in a community. And one of those ways is how you deal with the dead. There were specific instructions that God gave them so they could stay healthy, that they could stay disease-free, and all of those things. And Deuteronomy 20:13, God was even specific how they bury their waste. Let me read that. And I'm not trying to be gross now. I want to bring a point across here. And you shall have an implement. Yeah, ESV is terrible. Okay, you'll have a shovel. And among equipment, and when you sit down outside, you shall dig with it and turn and cover your refuse. Okay, your excrement. Now, when you look at things that you bury like that, I want to be graphic like this. Because when it comes to that servant that was lazy, it's kind of the same way that he buried his talent is what's worthy of burying that. And I want you to understand this because, you know, when Jesus died, he died for you. And when it's not only when he died for you, when he rose again and he ascended, it says he gave gifts to men. I want you to think about that. He gave gifts to men. When he ascended, he gave gifts to men. He said to his disciples, wait for me because I'm going to clothe you from on high. You're going to be clothed with power. And with that is the gifts, the talents that I've given you. You're not going to be able to do anything outside of yourself, but I'm going to empower you to do. Think of it. And so I want to quickly read Ephesians 4:7. I want you to understand this concept. It says, by the grace was given to me. I'm going to read it from my version. The grace that was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and gave gifts to men. Now, when we sing, be lifted up, you know, higher and higher, be lifted. You know that song, be lifted up, higher and higher. You know, we often think of that as just worship to God. But you know, to me, as I see Jesus when he ascended and he gave gifts to men, in a sense, when we begin to exercise those gifts, we're actually proclaiming the ascension of Christ. We're proclaiming that he's overcome sin and death. We're proclaiming that he's given us new life, and this is what it looks like. And this is our testimony to the lost. This is our testimony to one another, to build each other up. It's like, I want you to just grasp this. This is what Christ has done. He ascended that you can have a gift. Now imagine, thank you, Jesus, and you take the gift and you bury it. Man, what did he ascend for? It's like, how do you put it in the category of waste? How do you put it in the category of death? This is why he gave you this gift. And the reason I'm graphic about this is because, you know, I think sometimes we treat that servant who just buried something as almost like menial. Yeah, you know, he just won't get a bigger inheritance than the rest of the people that did use their talents. That's not what I read in this parable. I kind of want to just almost like not settle you, actually unsettle you if you're not living in what God has given you. Not what Josh Jen is putting over you. It's not what the elders have called you to. It's not what the expectation of leadership has on you. What has God given you, and what are you doing with it? Because verse 30, is what Jesus says to the servant that wasn't fruitful. He says, what? Verse 30, it says, and cast the unprofitable servant into utter darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Doesn't sound like someone who's just lost his little bit of inheritance. I'm sorry, guys. I don't, you know, one of the things I like to balance my theology, okay? But this is something I can't, you know, I've been processing and reading commentaries. Man, I want us to be a church that are living in the fullness. I don't want any one of us to be deceived that we're not living in the fullness that God has for us. There is no spectators in the church. Filling the pew is just the beginning. You know, it's not about us having bums and seats. It's about us living the gift that God has for us and to be the church that we call to be. This is what defines a healthy church. It's not how many people come into a building. That's a given. We all got to be part of that. It's not how many people come to come. That's just the beginning. But it's what are you doing with the gifts that God has given you? Now, the reason I want to say this too is because, you know, as I was looking at this parable, I looked at this guy's point of view. I think some of us are confused sometimes when it comes to burying versus planting. And if you look at it, you know, and I get it, there's some of us that have come from a place where, you know, we've been in church and we've been, leadership maybe have abused you, or maybe you burnt out because you're tired and you come from a place where they really used the ministry and it wasn't so much relational, and all those things are might be true, but it's almost like when you come to that, it's not an excuse. It's not an excuse, and I want to explain why, because this man, I've had that where people come to me, you know, we've been abused, we hurt, that part of our life is finished. I want to say that's bearing something, that's not sowing something. When you have to say that's finished, I've cut that off, I'm no longer doing that, that's a burial. That's not a sowing. When you say my ministry is finished, there is exceptions, and I have seen that in times where people's term is over and their giving is finished. But in the kingdom, you actually never finished as a whole. When I talk about that weight, that encompassing weight, your ministry is never finished. I don't care how burnt out you've been in the church. I don't care how bad their leadership have been. God has given you something. If you're going to let someone to disqualify what God has given you, you're the one losing out, not the church. So we need to get out of that thing. And this man, I want to say this about this man. He said this, I knew you to be a hard man. Now, I know none of you would say that about Jesus. I know that. But you will say it about the church. You will say that about leadership. I've had bad leadership. Come on, stand in the queue. I've been abused. I've been hurt. But never once have I ever said, you're a hard man to Jesus. I've always known his call and his purposes. And I want to say this because I think sometimes when we look at that, sometimes we have a view of God because of what's happened in the church. Seriously, we can be in that place. And you might be in that place. You might have come from another congregation where everything was hard, doing works. And so your view of God has changed. And it's kind of like that man. I knew you to be a hard man. I couldn't cut it. And so I'm just going to bury it. I want to say, if that's you, be careful. That's not planting, that's burying. If you say your term's up, your ministry's finished, that's death. That's decay. That's burying, not planting. And I want to say this too. This was this man's point of view. It wasn't the truth. Jesus is not a hard man. He said this, I knew that you reap where you don't sow and gather where you do not scatter. What is he actually saying to the master? What is someone who gathers what they haven't scattered? A thief. So in a sense, that's what he's saying. I know you don't sow where you don't reap. In other words, I know you're a thief. You take. That's what he's saying. Man, he's got no concept of God. He's no concept that he's a good father. He's a good master. You know, he isn't a hard man. In fact, the reason Jesus came was to sympathize with us, that he could identify with where you're at, to know you intimately. And by the way, because I know you, I want to gift you things to do, things I've called you to, and I know those things are going to be a blessing for you and for those around you. That's why I'm giving it to you. You're going to be a blessing. You're going to represent me, and in that there's going to be fruitfulness and there's going to be joy. Man, I want to say if this kind of work is heavy for you, you've got this man's mindset that you're a hard man. How many of you felt like that at times, that this is hard, this ministry is hard, this calling is hard? I want to say God needs to change your mindset. And the next point that he makes, now, I want to just help you understand this, because in this, where it says, you reap where you don't sow, the master kind of says, oh, so you know that I reap where I don't sow. He wasn't agreeing with, I just want to say this, the master wasn't agreeing with the man that said that. He says, you know, have you ever said that to someone, when someone says, oh, you're a whatever, and you say, oh, so you think I'm a, he was just repeating what he was saying. It doesn't mean he agreed with it. And so this man had no concept of his master. And the reason I also feel that we need to understand that there needs to be a repentance in our heart. Now, repentance isn't always just coming out of the front. And actually, God, help me process, because everything I'm doing, maybe in church or ministry or gifts, I can be doing it in myself. I could be doing it under the law. I can be doing it because I feel I have to. I want to say that thing needs to be broken. It needs to be broken. Why? Because you're always going to see God as a hard master. And just to close off, one of the things I can say for Lauren and myself, you know, even for planting here in George, it wasn't us. I can honestly say, if we had to go in ourselves and come to George, because we thought we got the gift, we got the ability, we're going to make this thing work. Man, we would have come short the first few weeks. I guarantee you that. But you know how we saw it? We came here with Renee and John, with a couple of Bob and Barbara, a couple of guys, because we had faith that God was going to do something here. We had faith that there was going to be fruitfulness here. We had faith knowing that, God, you're on the move, and this is where you want to be. And so Lauren and I, we just said, Jesus, we want to co-labor with you because we know you're going to do something. But we didn't put the gift on us. We didn't think this is what's going to make it work. We knew God was going to make it work. And I want to say it wasn't easy. Ask Renee and John. I worked for how many years? 3 years at Petra SA. You know how far Petra SA is from George? And I had to do that every morning, every day back. I'm not trying to polish my marble. What I'm trying to say is it was, even in all of that, it was never hard. It was a joy. But the difference was this. We had faith. And you know, when your faith carries you, man, it's light. Your burden is light. But when you have to carry your faith, it's a burden. And it's going to be too heavy for you to carry. It's like Paul says, you know, when it talks about gift, he says, who am I? You know, I'm Paul. It's Apollos. I plant, he waters. But ultimately, it's God who gives the increase. God who gives the increase. It's not us. We don't. God makes it happen. And you know, this is what changes this whole parable. If you begin to see the way the other servants saw it, hey, it was like God, that servant says, God, you're reaping where you don't sow. You know what? I can say we're actually not even really planting. God's planting through us. He's the one actually doing the planting. He's the one actually doing the work through us. We've just been obedient. And then he does the work through us. And then he goes, well done, my good and faithful servant. How does that work? He's so generous. He's so loving. It's completely the opposite mindset to this man, isn't it? But that's the mindset we should have. Man, God is doing the work and we can't do it. But you know what? We have the privilege of co-laboring with him. And we're called to be that church. Stop being a victim. Stop being like this man where the master says, you lazy, wicked servant. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. And I'm not trying to stir up a work with you. You've got to do this. No, no. I'm actually trying to throw all of that out and say, let it come from within. Let God begin to work and minister through you, that the work can be a joy, that it can be a light thing that Jesus has given you to carry. But let's do it together. We're all called to do it. Amen. So, well, I do know, I want to pray for us. But can we do a worship song? I asked Lauren, there's one song I really felt in my heart to sing tonight, just in worship to him. But in that worship, I want you to do something. We're going to sing the song, Be Lifted Up, Be Lifted Higher. And you know when you do that, ask the Lord, God, how can I lift you up? As we see the gifts, the talents, the call that you have on my life, I want to lift you up, Jesus. Be lifted up higher and higher. Like we read that scripture, when he ascended, what did he do? When he was lifted up, he gave gifts to men. And so in our worship, we got to just come before the Lord and actually ask the Lord, God, what are my gifts? What are my talents? What is my encompassing work that you've given me? Because you're coming back and you want to reward me. Your heart is ultimately to reward. It's not to judge. Really, it isn't. God wants to reward us. And like I said, he's going to reward us actually for what he's done in you and through you. And so let's just close in this song. Can we do that? Let's worship him. And yeah, it's going to be a little bit different tonight, but let's just worship him in this.